From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 15th day of October, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Along the way, we'll check in on yesterday's USDA crop weather reports to see just how far along the harvest season is in the Midwest. And we'll hear from Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. That'll happen in just about 26 minutes. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, Public Radio, from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on a Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby December, wheat at $5.55 3/4, 17 3/4, or rather 17 1/4 cents lower. March at 5.76, down 17 3/4. May futures in the wheat pit at 5.89 3/4, down 17 3/4 as well. December corn futures, $3.88. The settlement price down 23 1/4 on a Wednesday. The March at 4.05 1/2, down 23 1/2. And the May futures at $4.17, down 23 3/4. July contract, $4.27 3/4, 24 cents lower. November soybeans, $8.58, down 38. January at 8.72 1/2, down 38 3/4. March beans at 8.84 1/4, down 40 1/2. And the May futures down 41 at $8.94 3/4. Bean meal futures December contract down $3 today to trade at $244.50 a ton. December bean oil at $35.53, down $2.47. Live cattle futures from the CME Group's livestock side, $89.22 1/2, down $2.30 for the October. December down $2.52, 52 1/2 cents a hundredweight at $90.82 1/2. October feeder cattle at $96.40, down 80 cents on the day. November at $95.82 1/2, down $1.22 1/2 cents. December lean hogs $58.07 1/2, $2.42 1/2 lower, and the February futures at $64, down $2.42 1/2 as well. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. November crude oil futures are now trading at $75.80 a barrel, down $2.83. December at $74.70, down $4.25. November ethanol, $1.70 2/10, down 8 9/10. Natural gas at $6.61 3/10, 11 4/10 lower. The RBOB gasoline at $1.78 4/10, down just about a dime. November heating oil, 6 9/10 lower. That's diesel fuel at $2.19. And propane is unchanged, though that's not trading for the day, at 98 cents 7/10. Gold futures are at 835 50 cents, down 80 cents on the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 88.63. That's just about 447 points lower. The U.S. dollar is currently trading at 82.00. That's up 0.466 for the day. The CRB index at 283.86 is down 12.56 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. He says tonight in northwestern Illinois, it'll be partly to mostly cloudy. Elsewhere in the north and in central parts of Illinois, cloudy, some showers. Those will taper off from west to east overnight. In central Indiana and the south, mostly cloudy, some showers and thunderstorms arriving. Lows will range from 37 in the far northwestern parts of Illinois to 57 in the south. Tomorrow, Ed says, in the far south, mostly cloudy. Some lingering showers during the morning. Elsewhere, a mix of clouds and sunshine. Highs will range tomorrow from 57 in the far northwestern part of Illinois to 67 in the south. The extended forecast says dry weather expected over the weekend and early next week. That should allow field work to resume. Some rain will be possible during the latter portion of next week. There's still uncertainty about the timing and the intensity of that system. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
WILL programs are made possible by the iCorn.com Seeds of Knowledge Video Scholarship Contest. Farmers nominate students who make a 90-second video and compete for a share of $30,000 in college scholarships from iCorn.com. More information is available online at iCorn.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Time to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, is on hand. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Todd. Nice to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you again this week. A lot of red on the screens today as futures moved lower.
We saw the spectacular rally Sunday and night and Monday, we did see a big U-turn in the stock market yesterday afternoon and then during today's trading. Believe it or not, the corn and soybeans, wheat, and cattle and hogs are, you know, basically watching the stock market very closely, as well as the energy market for trading indications. Our general impression is the market was down about 300 points, and the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Bernanke, spoke at the New York Economic Club and basically said that, he talked about companies too big to fail, and he also talked about we don't talk about a depression anymore, it's a recession and how long, and it's going to take some time, and the market didn't want to hear the word time. Time is important, and the market did see a sell-off. On the backdrop here, of course, is we know the American farmers are a very strong holder of corn and soybeans. We are picking up reports of some disappointing yields in the Dakotas, North, South Dakota, Minnesota, and also Northwest Iowa, particularly in soybeans. But the marketplace and then maybe some input problems, the financial input problems down in South America, Argentina, and Brazil. But the market just shrugs off this and follows the stock market and energy market and sold off today.
Well, if you look at the marketplace, we're, more than $4 off the top in December corn, and we made new lows today from that point. Is there much more downside in this marketplace?
Well, we do think that the one thing of the meltdown last Thursday, Friday, indicated a couple things to us, that we did see these hedge funds, of course, long commodities and trade commodities, and they also trade a lot of stocks, and they're leveraged probably 4 to 5 to 1 on the stocks. And, of course, there was a lot of margin calls and long liquidation. And this is, distorting the market, and without several of the major money center banks in New York no longer in existence, and basically the new ones that are left are more careful, we think that a lot of the open interest and scared to own anything, commodities and stocks, are basically been washed away.
Well, what's your best idea for producers at this time?
Well, bless their heart, they've done a lot of things right and built a lot of new grain storage. Mm-hmm. They took a lot of crop insurance. They sold about half their crop. And they're optimistic that things can get better, maybe with a new presidential election and a new Congress. We will see emphasis on renewable energies again. And as a result of that, that's a big user of the commodities. Credit around the world is going to be hard to come by, and there will be some slow times, but it hurts, our competitors, Argentina and Brazil, and that gives us an advantage. So hopefully things are kind of fit together in here, and the farmer usually handles tough times pretty good. I don't think the times are as tough as they were in the 80s. We have the energy... renewable energies consume a lot of corn and soybeans, and I think that's the big stabilizing plus. Plus, they've had several good years.
Right. Have they been calling, wanting to replace sales at this point?
Yes. A lot of phone calls about that subject, a lot of calls about the prices in general, and the general feeling on just keeping current from the cab, so to speak, about what the markets are doing. And they're pretty patient about what's going on.
They're patient. Do you think that they should be selling, that they should be buying back either corn or soybeans or both? Depends on
We all agree, and we don't get much of an argument that we think that corn and soybean prices are ridiculously cheap. And
right.
We do get the feeling, even some of the hot shots on CNBC are saying the same thing, and particularly wheat. I think that we all agree it's cheap. Timing is the million-dollar thing, and in the stock market's the other key. I think that the one thing that, to be a little more proactive and give you an actual time, I think that the real time to buy soybeans and corn is when we get close to the 80% finished mark on the harvesting.
Well, we're only 21% on corn at this point.
And 51% on soybeans.
Yeah, and 51% on soybeans. So we've got a bit of time, certainly for the corn, although beans, I would suspect, would go fairly quickly over that last 30%, don't you think?
Yeah, and we are, of course, seeing, you know, in the good old days in the 1970s where, you know, I first got started in, we used to see the major grain companies start coming in, and we don't see that as much as we used to, but I'm sure that when they see the very profitable opportunities to lock margins in, I think they'll be in there and making some purchases for their big plants.
All right, Paul, anything to add before you let
have
you go?
Have a profitable
today?
Day.
Okay, you too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois, joins us here in the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what Paul has to say again, you can do that. It's easy to do. Just visit willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, both of which you can download directly from our website or sign up to have them delivered to you as a podcast. All the instructions are at willag.org. While you're there, make sure you sign up for our weekend newsletter. It's absolutely free. Just hit subscribe on the right-hand side of the page. That's WILL.AG.org. Now, yesterday, USDA released the latest crop production report. It shows throughout much of the Corn Belt, precip levels remain below 2 inches for the week. However, portions of the Great Plains states receive slightly larger amounts. Average temps throughout the Corn Belt range between 45 and 60 degrees, with colder temperatures in the northwestern portions of the region. 86% of the corn acreage is now considered nationwide to be mature. That's 11 points behind last year, 9 points behind the 5-year average. Development was complete in North Carolina and Tennessee and was nearly complete in Kentucky. Development was at or behind the 5-year rolling average in all states except for Pennsylvania. Harvest was 21% complete, 29 points behind last year, 20 points behind the rolling 5-year average. Harvest most active in the southern Corn Belt. Harvest progress was behind both last year and normal in nearly all states. In Illinois, Kansas, and Missouri, producers faced delays of 43, 30, and 38 points respectively. That when compared with normal, corn condition ratings improved by a point during the week to 62%, good to excellent. On the soybean side of the ledger, development of the soybean acreage to the leaf dropping stage have now reached 91%, 5 points behind last year and the 5-year average. The greatest weekly progress was in Missouri, where 21% of the crop advanced to the leaf dropping stage. Harvest of the crop completed on 51% of the soybean acreage nationwide, 10 points behind last year and the 5-year average. Producers were harvesting their crop at or behind the average pace in all states except for Kansas, Louisiana, and Ohio. Harvest was most active during this past week in Iowa, Kansas, and Nebraska. The crop rated 57% good to excellent, unchanged from the previous week. And finally, in the winter wheat growing areas, 1 to 2 inches of rain fell across much of the Great Plains last week. That aided that newly seeded winter wheat crop. Producers had planted 73% of the winter wheat crop, 4 points ahead of last year's planting pace, but the same as the five-year rolling average. Major planting efforts were evident in Indiana and Ohio, where more than one-fifth of the crop was planted during the past week. 46% of the wheat crop has emerged. Development is now 7 points ahead of last year and 2 points ahead of the five-year average. Now, up next, fall is a great time, as you'll hear, for farmers to test for the soybean cyst nematode. It's not something they like to do, but the test is useful because it provides information that can help them make better management decisions for next year's soybean crop. All 102 counties in the state of Illinois and 80% of the farm fields are infested by the soybean cyst nematode. It lays there, unseen in the soil, and does its damage to the soybean plant. Millions of bushels are lost each season to this silent robber, says University of Illinois nematologist Terry Niblack.
Most of the time, cyst nematode causes up to 30% yield loss without causing any symptoms at all.
No symptoms, but an estimated $250 million loss for just the state of Illinois. That's a lot of money, and farmers may be thinking because they use a cyst-resistant variety of soybean that it is their neighbor's field suffering the yield loss. That's not the case.
Well, that's right. That's what we are concerned about. Part of the survey that we did was to determine whether or not the nematodes have adapted to our resistant varieties. That what that means is whether they're able to attack and reduce yield of resistant varieties.
The fact is, most of the nematodes in the state of Illinois have been exposed to resistant varieties of soybeans, exposed long enough for natural selection to take place. And today, those resistant soybean varieties are no longer so useful as a tool to control the soybean cyst nematode. The only way to get a handle on what's happening in a field is to soil sample.
I mean, I know people don't like to hear that, but the specific recommendations for a specific farm depend on what the numbers are like on that farm. And the only way that we can tell that is by looking at a soil sample and counting the number of eggs that we see.
If the cyst nematode egg counts in those soil samples are staying steady or going down, then the field's safe. But if the populations are on the rise, the farmer may need to take some additional steps to control the nematode.
For example, we can do what's called an SCN type test, where we take your particular nematodes and go into the greenhouse and we test the resistant varieties to see how well adapted your nematodes are. And if they're well adapted, we can recommend specific alternative sources of resistance or other resistant varieties that will help reduce those nematode numbers.
It may be simply a matter of switching to a soybean variety with better resistance to the nematode, even if it comes from the same source, for example, PI88788. Our farmers can find that information on the web. Just visit vipsoybeans.org. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana, is now on the line to take us through the cash grain market for the afternoon. Hi to you, Matt.
How's it going?
Oh, very well. Tell me first about conditions there in your area. Probably shut down at this point, I would think, although I don't know whether you're getting rain yet or not.
I had a little bit, nothing big, nothing shutting us down completely.
And then how far along your farmers were further along, certainly, than they were here in other parts of the world. Tell me about how far along they are this week.
10 to 15 on the corn. Getting close to being 75-80% on the beans right now.
Any difference in what you see in those late beans as to the early beans? I think they were doing very well in your area.
They are doing very well, about running anywhere from 60 to 70 bushels to the acre right now. Dry, though. They're drying down, standing in the single digits.
And then if you take a look at the early conditions for the corn, how's it faring?
Pretty good. Slow drying down. Anywhere yields anywhere from 155 up to 215. So, again, looking very good, just slow drying down right now.
Some of those lower ends, I would think, are those on rougher pieces of property than they were expecting, or were they just not doing as well as suspected?
Actually, it's right where they expected them, maybe a little better. It's just, rough pieces of property right now, a little to the north where they missed a few rains.
How's the basis holding up this week?
Haven't changed. No changes. Looking pretty strong right now.
Your expectations over the coming week for basis for corn and beans?
Possibly a little stronger with the sled in the market right now. Not too much, though. Not looking for too much.
Yeah. Are you watching, what fundamentally are you watching for the coming year? Are we still thinking that the outside markets will drive most of this? Will we turn back on your terms to the local marketplace and fundamentally how much you need to fire that ethanol plant? Or what kinds of things are you worried about?
Right now I'm worried about ethanol as a whole, mandates and everything. If we get a few more shutting down, obviously demand goes away. Right now, not too worried about that. Just worried mainly about outside markets. Still a little bit bullish after November. Waiting to see when this crop comes in. Demand's still there, and we're looking strong. I think we'll be able to take off. But right now, it's just completely on outside markets that we're depending on.
Are farmers willing to sell you anything at this time, or are they just storing?
Storing a lot of delayed price contracting going on right now, but it's starting to pick up a little bit.
And your feeling as we go through this harvest season, what will it be for your area as kind of a final yield for both corn and beans?
Final yields are going to be good in this area, 50 to 55 on the beans. Final area for the corn, I'd say 175 to 180 is going to be a rough estimate there.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
No, that's it.
All right. Thanks much, Matt.
No problem.
Matt Blaisdell is with the Andersons, joins us from the Delphi Climbers facility, and they're in Indiana. And that happens each and every week right here on the Closing Market Report. A couple of things to remind you of. On Commodity Week, be sure that you tune in. That's our weekly program. It airs on most of these radio stations. And if not, you can always visit our website at WILLAG.org. We spend the whole half hour with four different analysts and talk about nothing but the marketplace all the way through. If you haven't heard Commodity Week before, please visit the website and you can pick that one up. There's lots of other agricultural programming on our website as well. It's all at WILLAG.org. The other thing that you can find there on the web is our weekend newsletter. Dave Dickey, who's the Director of Agricultural Programming at the flagship station for this program, writes most of that. It's an awfully good newsletter. It's absolutely free. Just hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page at WILLAG.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Well, in just about 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at what's happening in the world of agricultural weather. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us to tell us about harvest conditions across the Midwest and what emergence will be like for the hard red winter wheat crop as it comes out in the Great Plains states. Stay with us on the Closing Market Report.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The Illinois Supreme Court says a review of how to fix inaccuracies on this November's ballot should be decided by an appellate court. The Chicago Bar Association, Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn, and others asked the High Court to directly reverse the remedy for the faulty ballot because so little time remains before the November election. But the court turned down that plan. A Cook County judge agreed earlier this month that language explaining a vote on whether to convene a constitutional convention was inaccurate and misleading. He ordered notices to be given to each voter. The Bar Association and Quinn want the ballots themselves fixed. An appellate court hearing is scheduled later today. A trailer manufacturer in Terre Haute is blaming the credit crunch for its decision to lay off 108 workers. Great Dane Trailer says many of its smaller customers have been unable to find financing to buy the company's trailers. About 175 workers remain at the plant. Mayor Richard Daley has announced a pared-down budget for Chicago that looks to cover a $469 million shortfall. He says they'll have to lay off more than 900 city workers and eliminate nearly 1,300 vacant jobs. The budget Daley delivered today also increases taxes on parking and sports tickets and gives city workers 3 unpaid days off, so the mayor hopes it'll save $20 million, but the new budget won't raise property taxes. A new study on parking in downtown Urbana suggests a little leniency for infrequent violators. The study examined shortfalls in available parking in high-demand areas of Urbana Center. It recommends encouraging people who park long-term to find places outside the city's core instead of feeding meters on busy streets. It also recommends that people who haven't had a recent parking violation should receive courtesy tickets instead of a fine if their meter runs out or they park over a line. A plan from Governor Blagojevich would allow motorists on the toll roads in Illinois to use express lanes if they carpool or drive hybrids. They'd be located along the busiest stretches of highways with the goal of reducing congestion. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
A lot of rainfall across the Midwest today. Who's getting it? Who's not?
Well, it looks like the area that's getting it at the moment is from Kansas and Missouri across the heart of Illinois into portions of Michigan. We are expecting the rain to continue shifting eastward over the next 24 to 36 hours. It will pass through the entire Midwest fairly quickly, and it's not going to be producing a lot of meaningful rainfall the further east you go across the Midwest. So parts of Ohio and southeastern Indiana, eastern portions of Kentucky may not do very well with those events, with a few hundredths of an inch to maybe 3 or 4 tenths of an inch occurring in some of those areas. Whereas in some central Illinois locations, you might see amounts in a half inch to an inch range, and who knows, maybe something a little bit greater in a couple of spots. The event will be followed by some drier weather, though, and that will occur for a few days. I don't think we're going to see another significant rain event in the region again until perhaps second half of next week, maybe sometime around Wednesday or Thursday, about a week from now. So that means that we'll have an opportunity for the ground to firm back up again and get back at our field work here. And then even the rain event that is scheduled for next week may be somewhat limited in length, although we're still debating that issue.
You know, speaking of the weekend and as we get a little further out, is there a chance for some frost and maybe some freeze across the Midwest somewhere across that 2-3-day period over the weekend?
Yes, I do think that there is a fairly good chance that we'll see temperatures in the 30s and 40s across the Midwest, with perhaps even a couple of upper 20-degree readings in the far north. But I believe we'll see frost reaching down fairly far to the south, getting into interior southern sections of Illinois, possibly some soft frost, nothing that is going to cause any widespread hard freezes. But we should see temperatures in the 30s all the way down into interior southern Illinois and down to the Ohio River, perhaps in Indiana and Ohio. Most of the freezes will be in the north half of the Midwest. A lot of this is not all that unusual for this time of the year, and obviously our crops are far enough along that I don't think it'll be a major issue. We'll see a second surge of colder air moving across the region during the early part of next week, perhaps debuting in the northwestern Corn Belt on Sunday and quickly moving across the Midwest on Monday and Tuesday. So we'll have two rounds of potential frost and some freezes coming up between now and this time next week.
And finally, what kind of conditions is the soft and hard red winter wheat crop emerging into? We know here in the Midwest pretty much what's happening, but what about out west?
Well, in hard red wheat country, we did get a big soaking rain this week, and most areas out there are plenty moist at this point in time. In fact, there's a few fields that may even have to be replanted because of excessive rainfall, but that's a real limited number of fields that are in that situation. Most of the hard red wheat country is poised for some very good crop emergence and establishment now that we've gotten this one rain event out of the way. There's going to be some more rain coming on during midweek next week, and that will likely cause some more delay to field progress. But I don't think we'll see nearly as much quantity in the rainfall relative to what we've seen this week. And up in the Pacific Northwest, they're still a little dry. They could use some rain up there. And Montana just had a big snowstorm, so they're going to be looking okay, too, for a while.
Drew, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, and have a good day.
You, too. You have a good week. We'll talk with you next week. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.